Welcome to episode 435 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and this is an episode that several people have reached out to me and said, hey, when's the audio version coming out? I prefer the audio because I listen to it going to work. I listen to it at work. I don't watch the YouTube version. I don't watch the video version. I need the audio. I want the audio. So here it is, folks. Here we go.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Quick reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. So there are clips of this episode already up on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram where we talk about initially the top hard rock and metal stories of 2025, and already people are reaching out and saying, how come that's not Ozzy's death? And we kept that as a separate category. That's why, because I knew that if we only focused on deaths, then it would have just been that for the top five news stories, or at least most of it. So I wanted to spread things out. I still think that this episode was a lot of fun, a really cool discussion, which I hope that you guys really enjoy. These are the kind of discussions that got me into being a podcaster, got me into being a music nerd. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I love talking about music. It is definitely therapeutic for me, and hope that for a lot of you people, it helps you through your day. How about that? Outside of helping lighten your pockets with some of the stuff that we discuss, or some of the bands whose videos I post on Patreon, hopefully it gets you guys to not only check out bands, reconnect with old bands, but hopefully it kind of, you know, gets you in the mood to talk about music and whatnot. So I do want to remind you guys to check out the Patreon, check out my homepage, my website, signalsfrommars.com. It is your one-stop shopping place for all things Signals from Mars. And if I didn't say it in the last episode, Happy New Year, I think I did. Since I'm releasing these back to back, just wanted to throw that out there. I do want to give a big shout out to all of my patrons. Thank you. Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edistrom, Metal Dan, Chris Vaglio, Gabriel Ruiz, Mark Striegel of Talking Metal and SiriusXM. Hey, I just guessed it on both his Patreon show and the Talking Metal podcast. Check that out. Brad Dahl from Yarg Metal, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Bunch of these guys are on this episode. If you do want to join us for the next discussions and appear on screen, debate with us, talk to us, discuss music, all you got to do is become a patron. It's $2 a month. It's that simple. And you can join us and discuss away. Want to thank you for listening to this episode. I really do appreciate it. Let me know in the comments what stories we missed out on, which ones you agree on and so forth. Subscribe to Signals from Mars. Again, signalsfrommars.com for all that great stuff. See you. Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I am Victor. Joining me is Brad Dahl, Jeremy Weltman, and Ed Ferguson. We are here to do a recap of 2025. We're going to talk about some big metal stories from throughout the year. I've compiled a few different things we're going to talk about, which I think will be interesting to all of us. Edgar Winterson, thank you for joining us in the chat.
Hey, Edgar.
And
Edgar was correct that I would be loving that Coroner album.
See that?
You remember he was saying that last time we were together? He knows his stuff, man. Old Edgar does. Yeah,
we need to get him on the live stream one of these days.
That's right.
Come on, Edgar. Join us on Patreon. $2.
I want my $2. I got to find that for a soundbite to add to my board here.
I tried to get a good clean rip of it off the movie and couldn't do it. So.
Oh, there's plenty of tools now that will help you wipe away all that other stuff. So, anyway, we're going to kick things off with talking about the five best-selling hard rock and metal albums of 2025. So, I've used
best.
What's that?
Best selling, like somebody actually bought the we talk about hard copy.
Yes. Okay. I'm seeing that outside of the number two album. I don't have the units sold for number two, but I have for the others. Some of these bands we talk about, some of them we don't. Some of these albums I own, and I actually have one of these vinyls in a box still, which I have not opened. So anyway, all right.
Always good to have something to look forward to.
So what do you guys want me to do here? Do you want to guess to see what each one of you, one of the albums that have come out this year that you guys think may be on this list? Well, let's do that. Jeremy, what do you think?
Okay. I'm going to say, it's only just come out though, hasn't it? So I'm going to say Testament.
Okay. Ed?
Well, you know, this isn't my thing, but I know, did Ghost come out with an album?
Ghost this came year? Out with Skeleda.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be number one. I just know it. Okay. Everything.
Brad?
Wow. I'm going to go, because they have such crazy fans, Dream Theater.
That's not a bad one either. All right.
Thank you.
So at number five, selling 38,000 units the first week. Is Turnstile with Never Enough? Turnstile is a band that we've talked about a little bit. They've started out as being a hardcore band. And this new album, Never Enough, is funny because that's the title of a song by The Cure. And this album is more reminiscent of 80s pop in a lot of places with a lot of like synth wave and stuff like that. And really only has like two or three hardcore sounding songs on it. So.
Isn't Never Enough LA Guns? Am I thinking about that wrong?
Never Enough. Yeah, that's a song of theirs as well.
So they've done something that their original fans are probably really upset
about. But the thing is, live, they're supposedly a really good live band, and they appeared on the NPR's Tiny Desk concert series. And they play is that, you know, hardcore punk type stuff. So
Turnstile, huh?
Yes. Clammy whoever. Goodbye. So anyone trying to shill their wares here, you will not be Would you like those viewers? Yes. Anyway, all right.
This hat here. You can buy this hat here.
Not for much longer.
Ooh, limited edition.
Well,
get on it, people.
No, not because of that. The company is I've been waiting 3 weeks to hear back from customer support. So, and in the meantime, I've had another merch provider approach me. So in the new year, there may be a new merch provider and there may be new Signals from Mars merch. We'll see.
Ooh, more fun stuff to buy.
So, all right. At number four, Ghost with Skeleta.
Selling, there we go. Good job.
Only at number four. Selling 86,000 units the first week.
To be honest, when Ed said that, I actually thought, well, this is going to be number one.
Me because, too.
Yeah.
Everybody says he's number one.
So we're going to traverse some territory later on with bands that we don't normally talk about. I'll just leave it there.
Okay.
That's going to be the rest of the top five here.
Not necessarily. Because number three is that vinyl album that I own. And this came out. In August, actually, because I listened to it in the States. It's Deftones with Private Music that sold 87,000 copies the first week. I know that it's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's a band that I thoroughly enjoy and thought were great live. Number two is a band that I would not rate anywhere near hard rock or metal, but the metal press is behind them. They headlined one of the nights at Download this year. Sleep Token.
I was going to say Sleep Token if I could say a second
band. Yeah, even in Arcadia, I debuted at number one on the Billboard 200.
I wonder if those guys have ever been to Arcadia.
Listen, I like a lot of different types of hard rock and metal. Edgar Winterson laughed at me for talking about the Tron soundtrack, the Nine Inch Nails Tron soundtrack, damn it. I like Nine Inch Nails. I like a lot of different music. I'm not into Sleep Token at all. I just don't understand it. And I know that it's funny because there's been discussion recently with the band President, who's kind of in the same kind of thing. There are a lot of rumors circulating. They're both British bands. Is it Andy Copping is the guy from Download, Jeremy?
Yeah.
they have a lot of money tied into both of these bands. That's my gut feeling, and that's why they're so popular, is because they've got a huge ton of money behind them. The number one selling band in the world, or act, is Taylor Swift, okay? Taylor Swift's father owns the biggest trucking company in the U.S., all right? Is Swift Logistics.
That's her, dad. Who knew?
So, why is she so popular? Because of her music, because she works hard, because of this, because of that. She was born into money. And she's been able to leverage it. I'm not going to knock her because of that. But my gut feeling is Sleep Token, Precedent, all these bands that are now creeping out with the masks, with this, with that, sound that really sound nothing like metal bands. There are glam bands from the 80s that are more thrash than what Sleep Token is putting out right now. Sleep Token has a boatload of money behind them to help promote them in these albums. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, I know the stepfather of one of the backing singers, and I'm going to see him tomorrow because I think I mentioned to you that the backing singer Paige, she used to live here in Kingsmead, Northwich, just down the road from me, and so I know her stepfather, and so I'll pass on these good wishes tomorrow.
Oh boy! Yeah, I'll get a nice bouquet of horse dung in the mail.
Apparently, they have their own merchandise site now, just for the backing singers.
Oh wow!
As well.
Wow. Which band Sleep is this?
Token. Sleep Token.
Sleep Token. They're backup singers. Oh.
Yeah, they've got three. Yeah, they've actually got a name, but I forget what the backing singers have got their own name.
Not just numbers?
No, the rest of the members are numbers. You mentioned it previously because you did bring that up before. I don't know if you mentioned it on air or off air.
Yeah.
But listen, even if with me knocking them, if they can make it, good for them. Just not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like him either.
Again, I'm not going to knock you for liking them. I'm not going to say, oh, don't listen to them, blah, blah, blah. It's my opinion. It doesn't mean that my opinion has to fit everyone's, you know, tastes. So.
I'm just glad people are buying music.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thing.
Because we need to keep music alive somehow. People need to play instruments.
At number one.
At
number one is a band I think I've posted. Yeah, I've posted stuff of theirs on Patreon. And I believe I posted something off of this album. The band is 21 Pilots. The album is Breach. And the first week, they sold 200,000 units.
Wow.
So, wow.
There you go.
You know, it's funny that the only reason I know of that band is because, like, back around 2008 to 10, when you go into Starbucks, they would have these free iTunes downloads. And I would get one every time and check it out. It would always be indie pop acts and folk acts. And one of them was one of those songs. That's the only song I've ever heard by them. I've just kind of known of them because of that. And then, of course, a year or two ago, you told me they were one of the biggest bands in the world. And I guess they still are, from what you're saying.
Looks like it. All right.
Good for them.
Yeah. So let's move on to top grossing hard rock and metal tours of 2025. Okay. Any guesses? Well, let's go in opposite order this time. Brad, who do you think? Name a band that's in here.
Well, let's see. Iron Maiden have been on tour. Yeah, why not? Okay. Iron Maiden.
Oh, that was my choice.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, Jeremy.
I'll have to think about it.
That means you have to pick a U.S.
You guys
band.
Can double down if you want. That's fine. If you guys want to say Iron Maiden, that's cool too.
Well, no, that's all right. We'll think of something else.
Yeah, I've got another one.
Well, go ahead so I can keep thinking.
Let's see if I can well, I guess the one
mine is going to be AC/DC because I think they were still on tour this year.
They were.
So they must have made a lot of money out of it. So yeah, AC/DC.
Yeah, those big stadiums. Not as many shows, but
yeah.
Linda Carlisle.
Edgar Winterson is head over heels.
Yeah, I kind of get a feeling that he's got like a Belinda Carlisle poster in his bedroom. On the ceiling, perhaps?
Yeah.
Ed, any...
I can go easy. Metallica. Okay. I know they've been out playing, yep. Right? They're always playing somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
The easy way out
at
there.
Number five, $50 million made on their recently started farewell tour. Ooh. Megadeth.
Okay. Wow, Megadeth in the top five. Good job, boys.
Yeah.
Number.
Sorry, Dave Ellison.
Number four, having grossed 95.6 million. It is Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, oh, that was what I was going to say. Hmm.
Number three, grossing 136.2 million, only playing two shows a week. The M72 World Tour from Metallica.
Oh wow, that's quite a jump in money between these bands so far. Yeah.
Absolutely,
that's pretty.
And the last two are pretty similar. There's a considerable jump. But also what I just said, remember what I just said, Metallica made that much playing two shows a week. These other bands are playing consistently for the most part. Number two, from Zero World Tour, 150.6 million, Linkin Park.
Wow.
What? Yeah.
Well, okay. It's their first tour in years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But good to know everybody showed up for him when they came back.
Yeah.
There's the man.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go. Hmm. But at number one, Run for Your Lives World Tour, 150.9 million. Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Way to go.
So they made what? There's a $3 million difference there, 150.9 million to 150.6 million. Jeremy, you're the economist.
big gap.
And then to Metallica, 136.2, Guns N' Roses 95.6, and Megadeth 50.
I guess that's why it's so hard to retire, man, if you're making that kind of money playing rock and roll.
Yeah. But this is gross revenue. This will be gross.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got to remember that. It's got you got to pay a lot of bills with that.
A lot of bills, a lot of tax to pay. But they're making these guys are big acts. They're making money out of it. Good luck to
them. That's a good problem to have. I wouldn't mind making that much money and having to pay taxes on it. You know, because I mean, even with Maiden, you've got I was going to say the six members of the band. That depends.
You know, what'd be interesting to know though is that split six ways or
Gotta be tiered.
Well, Steve Harris must get more. Surely.
Before you cut me off, think of this. Think of this, Brad. You cut me off. Think of this. Is Maiden six members or seven members? How much money is Nico still making? How much money?
Yeah, it must be.
Oh, yeah.
Is Steve Dawson making? I think that's his name, right? Steve Dawson, the drummer?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Dawson. It's something Dawson. It's Steve or Sean Dawson, one or the other.
Steve Dawson, isn't that Saxon?
Anyway.
Dobby?
There's those seven. There's their managers. Plus, there's the entire road crew. So,
plus, they have to pay the support act. They have to pay the support acts as well, don't they? I mean, they've got to pay them something, even if it's a small amount.
They might be buying onto the tour.
Yeah.
That's another thing to consider.
Yeah, that's a tour you'd want to pay to open up.
Yeah. You got to sell a bit of merch.
Big audience.
Yeah. And well, I guess next year they're going to have Megadeth and Anthrax on the tour.
Except I went to see the Iron Maiden tour and I can't remember the Raven Age there now.
Even the Raven Age. They're on there because it's Steve Harris's son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. The last Raven Age is his. I forget which other band they had, which was Bruce's son. They've had Lauren Harris out, which Richie Faulkner was in the band at the time. So I'm sure they're getting those bands at a discount. And possibly the only members of those bands that are making money are the kids. That could be quite possible as well. It could be that the rest of the members of the band aren't really getting a whole lot. I would think that Maiden has probably worked something out, and this is me talking out of my ass, really not knowing what I'm talking about, but I'm assuming that Simon Dawson isn't making as much as the rest of the members. I'm assuming that Nico is getting a cut. I don't know if he's making as much as Simon. I don't know, you know, or it could be the other way around. Maybe Nico is still making more than Simon because he's the name, because Nico's out doing all the signings of the books.
Yeah, I guess there's a few ways they could work this. You can either be a hired hand, you know, getting paid a certain amount of money for each concert or on an annual retainer. Right. The other thing is whether you've actually got shares in the company. I mean, Iron Maiden will be a company in which probably Steve Harris has got, you know, the majority share ownership in. And so there's all that as well. So he might earn a salary from it that's equal to the rest of the band, but he might also earn a return on his shares.
That's a good point.
Because I think Judas Priest are set up like that, aren't they? Because that's why KK Downing was always, he was like a part of the band still, even when he left.
Yeah, and if he ever comes back, he's going to be an employee.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any shockers there with that top five?
No.
Not really.
Well, Linkin Park, maybe. I don't know.
I think with Linkin Park, again, they've been away for a while. You also have to think of the fact that even though they are, you know, within the genre, they've had a lot of pop success as well. You know, they've had a lot of mainstream crossover. So, and they're doing this in smaller arenas. I mean, they're not playing stadiums like Maiden and Metallica or even Guns N' Roses. They're playing, you know, your Pepsi Centers and Madison Square Garden and that.
That's still
a lot of people. Oh, yeah. Not knocking it.
We're also
the other thing too. I don't know who else was on the bills for all of these shows. I mean, I don't know if Linkin Park was the only real band on that tour. You know what I mean? Real name.
Yeah, but they're going to be the selling point for people.
Well,
Maiden. We're talking about Megadeth and Anthrax opening up for them, but the majority of the people are going to be for Maiden. You know, Metallica's been playing with Pantera. And they've been playing with Ice Nine Kills and Mammoth and Black Label. There's a fourth band that they've had going with them for quite some time as well. And I don't remember who, but And they're also doing, you know, shows in the parking lot in New York. They had, or in New Jersey, actually, they had Overkill play one day and they had Prong play the other day in the park, or the second night in the parking lot. So they're splitting money between all these bands, but they're still the main draw.
Yeah. 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 It's not like those other bands are putting extra butts in the seats.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, I wasn't going to go see Maiden, but oh, when I found out Overkill was going to be in the parking lot,
I'm there. Yeah. Well, who knows?
You know, I think too that we're getting close to that point to where the people that were kids, like in high school in the 90s and going into college, listening to those new and alt metal bands. And then, you know, there was, you know, then you also had post grunge and a lot of pop punk bands that came out, you know, leading up to 2000. A lot of those people are getting to that age. They're getting into their 40s now. They're going to start reminiscing back on the music they grew up with. And, you know, that's what we've seen. Me being a Gen Xer, that's what I've been seeing with a lot of my metal bands is, you know, it all kind of died away there for a while. And then as I got into my 40s, things, you know, luckily it wasn't us just having to go back and reminisce, but these bands went out and went to a new level with their music writing and production and just, you know, they're still jamming, but they're taking advantage, you know, of course, of the nostalgia.
Right.
Huh. And which we all benefit from that. We all love it. And so, yeah, the kids that were, you know, 8 to 10 years younger than me, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of their bands.
Yeah.
Lot more again, like Linkin Park and whoever is still around.
Right.
To do that.
We're seeing that already with the festivals, where a lot of the festivals are starting to slowly switch over to bands that were popular in the 90s. Because a lot of the bands big in the 80s, like you're saying, have had the run for the last 15, 20 years. Yeah. And what's happened is that those people are getting older, can't tour anymore. And members are dropping off. And...
Well, not just members, but your audience too. I've had so many people my age die in the last few years. It's like they almost don't, you know, they're losing their audience as well a lot sooner than you might expect. But
here's the other thing too, is how many of these bands are going out and just playing the same songs over and over again? You know, they haven't switched their set list up in those last 15 to 20 years. So also, if people aren't dying off, they're killing their audience because their audience is saying, yeah, that's the same set list I've been seeing for the last 10 tours. So I'm not going this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to argue that the average fan, you know, we're different kind of fans, the four of us. But the average fan, I think, wants to hear those songs over and over again.
You think?
I don't know. I don't have any proof to back that up, but other than when you go to a show and you see that the people go just nuts over songs that they like, you could care less to hear again because they've heard it so much. It's like, oh God, I got to hear this one again. But then everybody goes nuts. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to, you know, Europe many times, and it's the final countdown at the end, the encore. Everyone is there for that song.
Yep. Perfect example there.
Does Saxon switch their set list up from tour to tour?
They change some songs around. They obviously play always three songs off the new album. There's always a new album coming out. They'll play a few new ones. I love to hear the new ones and I love to hear, but they have a certain amount of songs they have to play. Like any of these major bands, these legacy bands that we call, you know, they all have to play those hits. And so Wheels of Steel, 747, Princess of the Night, those are the songs that are always in the set, really.
Yeah, I'm going to say, since I've done a few Saxon tours where I've seen 5-6 shows on one tour, that now with the new guitar player, with Tatler in there, He doesn't have quite the catalog under his fingers as the other guys did. And, but back before him, they would, you would see a totally, I mean, kind of start off with the same few songs and then it would just drift from there. I mean, Biff would just start calling songs out and asking the crowd what they want to hear. And even that last tour that I went and saw them on after Taz had joined the band, they only had a couple of songs that weren't in the normal set. We saw them play, let's see, four shows in Texas. And the set was not exactly the same every night. There was always one or two different songs. So
that's awesome.
So let me just read off the last show that Judas Priest did back in October.
You know, they're not changing their set at all on the tour.
Not during the tour, but tour to tour.
That's what I mean, not during, but they'll mix it up for the next one. Yeah.
But they played All Guns Blazing, Hell Patrol, You've Got Another Thing Coming, Freewheel Burning, Breaking the Law, A Touch of Evil, Nightcrawler, Solar Angels, Gates of Hell, The Hellion, Electric Eye, Giants in the Sky, Painkiller, Hellbent for Leather, and Living After Midnight.
I'd say that more than half of those songs are songs you're not normally going to hear them play.
You're not going to normally hear them play.
Yeah, we could throw a third negative in there and really make it funny. I mean, if you listen to that list, it's like, well, how many of those are like, you know, you're going to hear those on a Judas Priest
set? Another Thing Coming, which they haven't played on the tour.
Definitely. They have to play that.
Well, I've seen them where they haven't played it. Oh, yeah.
On purpose?
Yeah. And I've also seen them when they've done a 15-minute rendition of the song.
Oh, God. Please, no. Whoa, 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 yeah. Sorry.
You record that?
You know, it's when I was talking to... Wait, was I in the right key?
You got the job.
To your point. All right. So they played a lot of songs.
And I got to say one other thing. I was talking to Nigel and Graham, not Graham. A couple of boys in Saxon once. And Graham. I said, have you guys ever done a show that you didn't play Wheels of Steel? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, what the hell happened? I mean, how did that go? Did you guys get off stage and go, lads, we didn't play Wheels of Steel. How did that happen? I mean, there's no way since that album came out that they could do a show without playing that song. But
no,
they claim they did. And I thought, I don't know.
Well, with this set list, it's Painkiller heavy because of the anniversary.
Well, and they're going to play Painkiller every show now.
Yeah.
Now. That's one that's going to be in the set.
The one that I'm interested in is they did Giants in the Sky off of the latest album.
You'll never hear that song played live again after this tour.
I don't know because they've made that song all about a salute to people that have passed away where they show Ozzy, they show Dio, they show...
I think it'd be way cool if that song was became a regular in the set, because I keep thinking that every time a band comes out with an album that has like a really good song on there and they play it live and you're like, man, that was really cool, and it'd be nice if if it became a regular part of their set. But you don't see that very often.
Because they didn't play anything off of Firepower, for example.
I think one of the things we have to remember with some of these bands is that they've released so many albums now. I mean, you know, they're still releasing albums. As we know, Judas Priest just released an album. Iron Maiden just released an album. So they're always going to have this problem of choosing what to play live. They know there's a certain amount of songs they have to play that are the old songs, because there's always the old guys, the old ladies who are going to the shows who want to hear all those hits, and they can only put in a certain amount of new stuff without it being boring to, you know, the Brad just said, the average person wants to hear, you know, all that legacy stuff. And it's very difficult. The more and more albums they've got, it's easier for Guns N' Roses because they haven't actually released many albums.
Yeah, that's right.
So they don't have any choice, they have to play.
But the other thing is with Guns N' Roses, they play for 3 hours, whereas the others don't. So that in that 3 hours, they can play all the hits. They can also bung in a load of old tunes. They can do a few covers. They can have a few solos, and it's easy right. for them.
Yeah. So just to compare the Iron Maiden set list. So they did Ooh. Murders in the Rue Morgue, Wrathchild, Killers, Phantom of the Opera, Number of the Beast, The Clairvoyant, Power Slave.
Wait. So Number of the Beast, that's so far, that's the only song that I would say is you're going to hear pretty much every time you're going to see Iron Maiden. All the rest of those aren't.
Number of the Beast, they haven't been. This is the first tour that they've brought that song back in several tours.
Yeah. Really?
Wow.
I could have sworn they played it the last
time. Not mistaken. I could be wrong. 2 Minutes to Midnight, okay. Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, Run to the Hills.
Yeah, that's
got Seventh be in Son there. Of a Seventh Son, The Trooper.
That's not it.
Hallowed Be Thy Name. Trooper's got to be in there.
Yeah. That.
Hallowed Be Thy Name. This is the first time they've played this on tour in like four tours. They found that,
but that was every tour before that, since that album came out. That was the last song.
Iron Maiden, Aces High.
That's got to be there.
Fear of the Dark and Wasted Years.
Wasted Years.
So Peace of Mind only gets one tune.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But I would say that most of those songs are songs you're not going to hear every time you go see them. That's actually a really good song.
That's right.
Maybe I should.
Wasn't this the one as well where the drummer was learning stuff for this tour as well?
Yeah, but they claimed that he learned stuff really quickly. That's what Bruce said.
Right. Yeah.
Fear is the key. Yeah, I used to love that song when it first came out. Listened to that album not that long ago, and I was like, wow, I used to love this back in 92. All right. So top five hard rock and metal news stories of 2025. And I purposely did not include any deaths in this. So five bands that you guys think will be in this top five. Ed, any band?
For headline news.
Yeah, the most talked about, the five most talked about stories in 2025.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to take the easy route and say Arch Enemy and the vocalist change there.
Wow.
I think that's a pretty big story amongst all those fans.
Okay. Yeah. Brad, you?
I'm going to take the easy one, the low-hanging fruit, Black Sabbath.
Okay. Jeremy?
Back to the beginning.
I'm going
to
go for a wild card, and I'm going to say the loudmouth who can't sing, Dave Lee Roth.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Definitely. He got a lot of press.
All right. Number five. Sleep Token reaching number one on the Billboard 200.
Okay, moving on to number four.
Yeah.
Number four, Black Sabbath, Back to the Beginning, final show narrative becomes central to the 2025 metal discourse. Okay. Number three, Kiss, What's Next? Continues Avatar's Projects Talk.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Number two.
Okay.
Ghost hits number one on the Billboard 200 with Skeleta.
Okay.
And the number one discussed news piece of the year is Megadeth's announcement to retire, final album, and farewell tour plans.
You would have think I would have thought of that one. But I forgot.
So,
Yeah, that's probably the biggest story right there for sure. That makes sense.
I'm surprised the Back to the Beginning didn't get more.
You think it was number four.
I would have pinned that as being number one, given all of the stuff that surrounded it, all of the unique combinations, the bands that covered Black Sabbath and everything. Did Ozzy's death overshadow it? And that's why you know, we didn't carry on about it.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I think that fed into it, actually.
Yeah, I don't know, because Ozzy died 2 weeks later. You know, so if there was like a groundswell about Back to the Beginning and maybe having some type of like DVD coming out and stuff like that, once Ozzy died, that kind of went away because the focus was Ozzy. The Kiss Avatar talk and stuff. Yeah, you know, I did a whole thing the last week with Hooligan Nation about that. So yeah, there's people still talking about that, especially since they the whole Landlocked Cruise thing.
Yeah, we should talk about that sometime, man. Have you watched stuff from that? I don't want to get off on a tangent, but
well, we could talk about that 1 second, because the other two things that that were here were the number one albums by Sleep Token and Ghost. Ghost to me wasn't a surprise because they've charted fairly high the last few tours. Yeah. Sleep Token to me, again, a surprise, but maybe that shows I'm out of touch. Who knows? The Megadeth retirement, to me personally, to quote Bruce Dickinson, somewhere in time, deja vu, feels like we've been here before. They already had a final tour and album when they released The World Needs a Hero. Then The System Has Failed was supposed to be a solo album, and then it ended up becoming a Megadeth album, and they haven't gone away since. This final tour is going to last a million years, apparently, because we've already discussed how much money these bands are making out there on tour. So as shocking as it is, as neat as the three songs have been that they've released, I chalk this up as I'll believe it when I see it. Because I can see Dave in 3 or 4 years say, you know what, we're having fun on tour. This is the greatest lineup ever. You know, I thought I was going to hang it up, but we're just having way too much tour, way too much fun on tour. We're going to continue.
Way too much money.
My wife has bought too much expensive shit for our ranch. They've bought.
We're doing it for the fans, because the fans want to pay us.
Yeah, we're doing it for the fans because I have 20 new horses on my ranch. And somebody's got to pay for them. So the Megadeth announcement. The Megadeth announcement. Did it surprise anybody?
Yeah, I think I was a little bit surprised when it happened. Yeah.
Do you think he'll hold up to the retirement?
It depends what plans he's got. Did he say what he was going to do when he actually retires?
All they've said is final album, and that this final tour will be several years long.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, he's just looking ahead to playing live and getting it done, and whether he's got any thoughts afterwards, I don't know. But difficult to say, really. I mean, how old is he now? What's more?
Not.
It's in his 60s.
Early 60s. Yeah.
He could be late 60s
by the time he finishes it, and whether he feels that, you know, it's quite a fast-paced music, isn't it? So we're not talking about playing sort of laid back blues on tour and doing a Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That's just it right there. If he were to continue on, after all of this, his musical style would have to change because he's getting to where he can't physically do it.
Yeah.
And
he's 64.
And I get it, man. Like, yeah. I've so far, like that last album, that song "We'll Be Back," one of their fastest tunes that they've made. And also, not just, you know, fast one note, but it's got some, you know, galloping fast riffs. I can play that, but it hurts like hell by the time that I'm done. And I'm just 55. And if he's been saying that his hands started failing on him a bit. And when that happens, you still got some life in you, I can tell. But some of those kinds of songs are going to get to where he just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Now he may be able to do it like as a one-off, but to try to do a whole show of that stuff. So he would end up having to go back playing all the stuff that I don't like as a full show, almost. Maybe putting in Holy Wars. Holy Wars, though, man, that'll tear your wrist up, too, trying to get through that at full speed. Yeah, I almost think with some of these thrash metal guys at this age, even if they were planning to fool you and come back, their bodies aren't going to let them, don't think. So I think now Mustaine, he's going to be able to make money till the day he's gone, for sure. But maybe he can do some more stuff like the Super Collider finally, but do it, you know, apart from his thrash metal band, you know, do some of the rock stuff that he's always trying to kind of push into Megadeth and gets a lot of pushback. You know, this when he's to the point where he can't play the fast stuff anymore, maybe he can go do that in his retirement. Because those songs like Super Collider, that's a really dang good song by itself. Redline, really great song by itself, you know.
Yeah. Or he might sort of write with other people as well. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
Or
do something.
They
could all have fun doing that.
Have you heard any of the three new songs yet, or are you waiting for the entire album?
Yeah, okay, so Decibel Geek guys, you got me again. I'm listening to their new show, and they're talking about Megadeth, and I didn't pay attention to the fact that they started playing a song from the new album at the end of their conversation about Dave, and about 30 seconds later, I realized I was listening to the new Megadeth, and so I was like, oh, well, I'll just finish it, and it was like a... it was a magical experience, what I heard. Okay. I'm not too sure what song it was, but it was some of the finest guitar solo work that I've heard yet. Just from like the 30-second clip they played. I'm so excited to hear Timu on this album, because even just when I hear him play little pieces, it's just I get excited to hear more. That guy is just amazing. And after Megadeth is gone, man, Timu, hopefully he can carry some of that on himself. I mean, as good as he is, that guy should be able to have a full-time career the rest of his life.
Well, once you're in a band like Megadeth, you know, the doors are going to be open.
Yeah, that gave him the audience there.
Your Super Collider analogy is funny. I don't know if you listened to the latest episode of the VMR podcast. Where
I did, yeah, today.
You did listen to it or no?
Today, okay. I did.
So I mentioned something along those lines where, I think the second single that they've released it isn't as laid back as Super Collider, but it's more of a straight ahead hard rock song. The third song, which was released today, I think is kind of in between both songs.
Yeah, well, that's kind of par for the course with him now.
Yeah.
Every album is kind of a mix of all that stuff.
Well, and I think that's what, I think your analogy is spot on. I think he's, the biggest reason for putting Megadeth away is for him to do something a little different. And I didn't, you know, I'm not a fan of Risk, but I think Super Collider has some really cool stuff on it. And I think that the title track is, for what it's worth, I think it's a good song. I think that similar to any of these bands who have switched up their styles, and listen, Metallica with Load, Megadeth with Risk, or Super Collider, or stuff like that, or even Saint Anger. They're tame in comparison to what Bring Me the Horizon and Between the Buried and Me have done with, you know, coming out with full guttural vocals and now doing stuff that's like full on pop. You know, at least Metallica and Megadeth have still stayed within the rock realm with what they've done. And I understand why a lot of people don't like Load, for example, but you take it out of their catalog and see it as a snapshot or a piece of work from a specific point of time. And I think you interpret it a little differently than putting it up against Master of Puppets and Injustice for All and Ride the Lightning and all that stuff. So,
I agree with you. I'll take the Black Album any day over a lot of these records I'm hearing now where they just completely switch the music to something. It's almost offensive to me when I hear it. It makes me mad a little bit.
I hear you. But, all right. So, the final piece to this is the biggest hard rock and metal deaths of the year. There are five here. I think two of these are obvious, and I think a third one, I think you guys might get, but I don't know if you guys will get more than three out of these five. So Edgar has already said Ozzy, so we'll remove Ozzy off of the table.
Ozzy's off the board.
Brad, anyone else?
Oh, God. I know I need to pay better attention to people dying. I'm totally stumped right now, although I know some big names have passed on this year.
I'm trying to think of what other metal musicians besides Ace and Ozzy.
There we go. You got Ace.
I thought he was a given, so we weren't choosing those two.
Ace was the big one. Yeah.
Jeremy, any others?
Yeah, John Sykes.
Les Pink. No.
Was it this year?
John Sykes died.
John Sykes was January.
No, yeah,
December
John
Sykes. Of 2024.
Oh, was he? All right.
Why hasn't this shown up? Okay. Another guess.
I will go Les Binks. Okay.
Yeah.
So number five is Thomas Lindbergh, singer of At the Gates. Huge influence on, especially he was part of the reason for the Gothenburg sound out of Sweden. A big influence on melodic death metal. Number four, Rick Derringer.
I was
surprised you guys mentioned Les Binks, but Rick Derringer as rock and roll Uchiku is huge. Mm-hmm. Number three, Brent Hinds, Mastodon. Ace Frehley, number two, and Ozzy Osbourne, number one.
Yeah. There's been so many, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years that it's kind of hard to remember when they've gone.
Except
for just remembering that people like Dio and Lemmy have been, you know, a long time now. But.
I'm impressed Brent Hinds made above Rick Derringer. I mean, you ask the average person on the street who is, you know, Brent Hinds, they'd be like, who? Yeah, but Rick Derringer, I'd say a lot of people, average people, have heard of Rick Derringer.
I don't know that they know Rick Derringer by name so much as by song. And it's possible.
Well, okay, well, we could go that way. Let's play Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo and then play any, what's the biggest Mastodon song? What do they have a big song? What's their biggest song? And why am I not playing it on Yard Metal if they have a big song? Come on.
No, I mean, I like a lot of their catalog. Probably their biggest.
Yeah, you like a lot of it, but I'm just saying, if you're going to play a Mastodon song for somebody walking down the street and say, "Hey, you know these guys, right?"
Yeah, well, they've always been an underground band. So I mean,
yeah. So I mean, I'm impressed that he got.
I'll give you this. Is Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo a bigger song than Hulk Hogan's theme song?
Did Mastodon do that?
Rick Derringer did it.
I know. Yeah. I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, wow.
Edgar Winterson is saying, at least we forget Derringer played in my dad's band. He did play in Edgar Winter's band.
Yeah, he played in the Edgar Winter group. And he also played in White Trash. He played in that. And then they toured. Yeah. Rick Derringer's, yeah, he's done so many things.
Didn't he play with Bowie as well?
That I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell. But I'll do some research on that, kids.
Has there been
I didn't know Edgar Winter had a kid.
has there been another year where you mentioned Dio and Peter Steele of Typo Negative died fairly close to one another? Having said that, has there been another year where two artists as influential as Ace and Ozzy that they've gone?
No.
Yes.
Nope.
I'm thinking possibly John Bonham and Bon Scott.
Great.
Yeah.
Great memory.
Yeah, because I remember that one when I was a kid at school.
Yeah.
You know, another reason why Rick Derringer's on this list, because in 2001, he released the album Doing Business As, and the band that he was a part of is a three-piece. It was Derringer, Bogert, and Carmine Appice.
Edgar, you still there? The first time I saw Edgar Winter, your dad, was in Whitefish, Montana at a Mexican food restaurant. It was awesome, actually. And Carmine was playing drums. And this guy, John Duva, was playing guitar. And they were incredible. There was no bass player. It was an abomination from that standpoint. But musically, it was just brilliant. And yeah, I mean, two legends on the stage of, three-piece. Oh, man, Edgar Winter.
Johnny Winter used to be, was he his brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw Edgar Winter. It was right after it was the weekend that Johnny died, like a couple of days after. He was doing a show in Erta, Utah, of all places, and Pat Travers was on the bill with him, and Pat Travers came out at the end and they played a couple of Johnny Winter songs, a tribute to Johnny. Huh. Yeah. One off. Totally cool. But Edgar Winter's guitar player is just incredible. What's his name? Oh crap. See, that's the problem when you get old.
I would have been impressed if Pat Travers would have brought out Nico McBrain.
Those guys played together like a couple of weeks ago in Florida. Because it was Pat Travers playing together. Nico up there.
His band before me.
Yeah. Pat Travers still damn good.
So here's
boom boom out goes the lights.
Here's one Rick Derringer tidbit that I always use to rile up Vinnie Vincent fans when they ask what the best Vinnie Vincent solo is on Lick It Up. I always say Exciter because Rick Derringer played the solo, and you see people start to answer, Vinnie didn't play on that one. I said, that's why it's the best Vinnie Vincent solo on the album.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Rick was a fantastic guitar player. Great singer, yeah. Too.
Ozzy and Ace, we had a whole remembrance. Ozzy, I was away. We are saying slowly but surely, we're saying goodbye to the people that helped form the soundtrack of our lives. Brent Hinds of Mastodon was much younger than the rest of them. I will say that it is a band that I've listened to a lot, and I have a lot of their vinyl behind me. Again, I know it's not for everybody, Brad. So if you ask the average person down the street, walking down the street, yes, they're probably not going to name a Mastodon song.
Maybe not even heard.
Maybe not even heard.
Yeah. I like them too. I do play quite a few of their songs on the yard metal. So I've seen them once, and they were good.
I got to see them as well. Middle of the day, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw them. They were warming up for Death Clock. Okay. And I thought, okay, you're basically warming up for a cartoon.
That's who I would like to see is Death Clock.
Hey, they're going on tour next year, Ed. And I don't know. I got to check and see if there's anything coming near you. If so, we're going. I'm coming. We're going. I'm getting you on the guest list.
Yeah, if Death Clock came here, I would definitely go to that. I couldn't miss that. That'd be fun.
But it is an experience. I mean, because you're basically the band is you don't see the band. They're all backlit by the screen. It's basically you're watching cartoons with music. Okay. With music supporting it. And then the last song, they put the lights on the band so you can see them.
Okay, that's cool.
They play their asses off, that's for sure. I mean, they
got good tune. I mean, they're a seriously good death metal band.
Yep.
Cool. So any parting words? Anything that you guys think should have been mentioned that stood out to you guys from 2025? Ed?
I do. One of my favorite things this year was seeing Queen Doro doing that Winter Dreams video with Udo.
Oh, with Udo.
Remember that? It was early in the year, so we probably started to forget about it.
That actually was really good.
That moved me.
One of my least favorite Accept songs, and they did a nice job.
Yeah. Remember that one, everybody, to go visit again, that video.
Okay. Brad, for you?
Wow. I don't know. It was a great year. Music, a lot of great music. I've got my list of albums from 2025 that I'm trying to still pare down to 10. And I'm looking forward to talking about those in a few weeks. Yep. Stay tuned for that. I didn't get out much this year, unfortunately. So I didn't see a lot of concerts or anything, but, I don't know. I think musically it's been a great year. A lot of great new music has come out. So
cool.
I agree.
Yeah. And I do have to say this, that, watching the live stream of Back to the Beginning, that's something that will live in my memory forever. Getting to chat with this guy right here during the whole thing. And then Jeremy, right here, getting the chat. You know, it was cool, man. We're down there chatting with each other during the show, and of course, I had my brother, CEO Dave, chiming in. It was like a shared experience without actually being with other people. I guess what could be it more 25 than that? My favorite part of the whole thing was right before Ozzy came on. Jeremy said, "That's it. I'm going to bed." I've had enough. I'm going to bed. This is after he was there from the first note of the whole thing. And I'm like, what? You're not going to bed.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Good one. Well played. So that was just an incredible experience, being able to virtually experience that with some of the coolest people Some of the coolest people on Earth here. I know Victor was busy, unfortunately. But he was also in the chat wanting to know what was going on with the thing. You were doing basketball.
Yeah, basketball stuff, camp. And it was funny. Two days later, one of the organizers of the camp said, "Have you been able to check out any of the Back to the Beginning stuff?" I'm like, "I've been here with you the whole time. When am I checking anything out?" I go, "Today's the end of the where you could watch the entire live stream." Yeah. And I remember him saying, "Well, you know, there are clips up on YouTube." I said, "Yeah, I've checked out some of those clips, but the sound is nowhere near as good as what you're seeing from the pieces that they were releasing." I mean, there was like The Ultimate Sin. I saw it, and it was from somebody in the crowd, and it could have been like 4 million miles away because the sound was just terrible. Then they released a clip from the soundboard, I think it was, and it sounded great. So,
there was great brand, though. Even though it was a 2-hour delay, it was still, you felt like it was happening right then. And we were all us three anyway, we're experiencing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's just something really cool about that. So,
especially now, because for me, it's been extremely helpful because I've lost so many of my music buddies. They're gone. And so having you guys to watch, I remember you watching Kiss too, when we were watching the last concert, and that was fun. And Mike Jones was sending me pictures from the concert that he had gone to a couple of weeks before that. And just being able to talk to all of you guys about music throughout the year, it's been one of the most therapeutic and healing things for me after all the really good friends that I've lost to death in the last couple of years, especially. Yeah. All the guys that I would be texting there. I've got one buddy left. And I told you last show I made a new metalhead friend, so that's helping too. But having you guys to talk to has been pretty awesome. Thanks for having me around and listening to me gab about all of this stuff.
It's great to have you around, Ed, because you provide us with a great perspective of things where a lot of times we miss out on things. And I mentioned it during today's Patreon episode where there'll be something that I'll be listening to, but I'm not listening to it in the same fashion that you are. And there are times where you'll say, you really need to go back and check this out because of this. And it actually gives me a reason to go back and you're making what I do a lot easier in the sense that, I mean, a lot of the interviews that I've done are thanks to things that, you've either brought to my attention or said, "Hey, go back and check this one out again," or stuff like that. And it's great to have all of you guys on board. I wish I could have been there live for the Sabbath show, but is what it is. Jeremy, what has been one 2025 thing that you want to mention?
Well, I could echo everything that the guys have just said, really. I mean, Sabbath and talking with you guys on this. But, the Sabbath thing sort of reminds me that I just looked down at the bands that I've seen this year, and they're all legacy bands. They're all bands that I never thought at my age now I'd still be watching. I went to see Magnum in January. I went to see Michael Schenker in May. I saw Iron Maiden in June. I saw Wasp. I saw Saxon. But above all, the one moment for me is to tell you about, I went to see Uriah Heep in Manchester. Mick Box, who's 80 years old, is still doing it. And he's still doing exactly what he did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You name it, keep going back the decades. And to see a band like that, still a genuine band playing live, playing all that sort of folky, proggy rock music, the old-fashioned rock music with a proper organist on stage, playing the Hammond organ and those old great tracks that they played, Gypsy and all that sort of stuff. And Yeah, for me, that was a big highlight because although the Black Sabbath gig was obviously the highlight, I guess, of the year, seeing a band live like Uriah Heep, you can't beat it. And long may they continue. They won't be going forever. They might only go for another couple of years or so. Who knows? But we've just got to cherish the music that we see. Go and see it live. Listen to it on records, on CDs, and just enjoy it. And listen to all the new stuff because eventually, you know, these bands are going to die. They're gonna move on. We'll still have the music, but you know, we can go and see new bands.
Yeah, absolutely. What can I add to this that you guys haven't said? I mean, I think we've covered all bases. I think what Ed said is really important to me as well. You know, talking to you guys is great, especially after real crappy weeks. You guys know more than the average listener because I blab about a lot of it on the Patreon show. Maybe sometimes too much. And I'm sorry if I bring down the mood by doing that, but sometimes I just got to let that stuff out. It's been a kick for me watching my kids' music grow. sitting in the car with them and having them, you know, where I'll say, you guys are never going to guess what band this is. And seeing them say, oh, this is easy. It's so-and-so. I'm like, damn, all right, cool. Or I had a kid that I coached the last few years where I saw on Instagram on a note, he posted that he was listening to Pink Floyd. And I said,
wow. Yeah.
I said to him, I go, what are you doing with Pink Floyd? And he goes, we have more bands in common than you think. And I said, well, all right. I like hearing that. So, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
I hope that, everyone that listens to this, or watches it, I hope that this show has helped you guys out through the ups and downs of the year. There's always some great new music to be found. We try to do our best here to bring that stuff to you. Sometimes you're going to agree, sometimes you're not going to agree. But I think that we do a solid job with, you know, bringing stuff to people's attention. I do appreciate all you guys. And honestly, you know, if the patrons weren't around, and yeah, I get it. People could say, well, you know, they're your friends because they're on Patreon. The show would not be around if you follow the history of the show had this group of not built up. I know that a lot of people have come over from what I was doing with Mark, with his show. Whether I do anything with Mark or not going forward is up in the air. I haven't heard back from him regarding that. But I think that we've had people come and go, but the nucleus has still been here. There's still patrons that that I think are good friends of the show still, and good friends to all of us who don't have the time to join us like maybe they once did, which is fine. You know, I mentioned it today. I wish there was more interaction like there was a few years ago, but I'm good with what we have. If we get more, that's awesome. If not, I think we've got a good thing going. So I do want to thank the three of you for being here tonight. I want to thank Edgar for providing banter all the time when we are doing the show live or even when it is recorded. And yeah, we've got, I think, two more shows left this year. I've planned it out and we've already got a guest lined up, which will be the first show next year. Next month, we will have a recap of December releases and we will finally do the 2025 album list. Look at that. Wow.
I saw your number one there.
Oh, damn.
Kansas didn't release anything this year.
Tokyo Blade? Yeah, Kansas.
Kansas. Have you listened to
Tokyo? I've actually seen Kansas live. How about that? Who here can say that?
You can say what?
That you've seen Kansas live.
Nope.
I've seen it on the map.
I've been in Kansas.
Well, I'm awfully proud of you, Brad. So I've seen it,
yeah. Yeah, my first concert was Blue Oyster Cult, Kansas, and Ted Nugent.
There you go.
Yeah. Little did I know that Kansas would go on to become the best American rock band in the history
of all time. All right. On that note, we will bid you guys farewell. Thank you once again for joining us tonight. We will see you next time right here on Signals Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.